So as we all know, words matter. Not only the words that we hear, but also the words that we see. When I was a kid growing up in my hometown, we still have a travel agency. It's called Cheyenne Travel Agency, but they didn't even put that sign up on their building. And so imagine a little kid who is able to read at least, you know, small, simple words at the time, every so often driving down Main Street and seeing this building. Now, I don't know if you can see very well the sign that is on there. And it's actually been updated a bit. When I was a kid, every time I went past this building, I saw this sign that said, "Please go away." And I thought, what kind of sign is that for a business? And I would ask my parents from time to time, you know, what place is that? And they would tell me it was a travel agency. Well, to a kid, you don't really understand what a travel agency is. So I always forgot the explanation, but I never forgot that sign. It's actually been updated to have the word vacation under it. But when I was a kid, it was always just this huge sign on the building that said, "Please go away." And I thought, how is that place still in business? Why would anybody ever go there? So words matter. The words that we hear and the words that we see. In fact, in this Christmas season, I kind of wonder if maybe that is the new, you know, Scrooge and Marley business for the 21st century. You know, one of the things, and we talked a lot about this last year with the theme of our message series for Advent being a Christmas carol, but I think it's important for us to revisit, because not only during Christmas, but maybe in our lives or certainly in the lives of those who we might know, that there is a common phrase that Scrooge uses in his life, and it's enunciated when the two business people go to visit him to raise funds, and he says, "I'm not going to give anything," and one of them says, "Confused, do you mean that you wish to be anonymous?" And Scrooge says, "No, I wish to be left alone." And that is such the phrase of his life, we almost wonder if that would be the epitaph of his grave. "Here lies Ebenezer Scrooge. I wish to be left alone." So as we look and we continue in this journey of Christmas not being our birthday, Mike Slaughter, who writes that book, reminds us that all of us want to be important to someone. We want to matter. We want to know that we are remembered. We want to know that we are loved. Most of us also know what it's like when we are not. When we feel as though we are not loved, when we feel as though we are alone or that we have been forgotten. And so as Mike Slaughter is writing about this, he starts to bring in images and themes of the book of Hosea. First, he writes, "From a human perspective, we can equate God's relationship with the Israelites to the sacred trust commitment made and then broken in marriage." Now, it's important that we remember that Mike is saying that this is from a human perspective. We can often think that God's jealousy, as it's written about in the Old Testament, is the kind of jealousy that we might feel when someone we love is no longer paying that attention to us. Because when we anthropomorphize God like that, we might say that God has the same need to be loved as we do. But of course, it goes much beyond that. But to try to break this down for us to understand as humans, we see some examples in the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea is one of those 12 minor prophets who experiences his wife Gomer committing adultery. And this is compared in God's perspectives to the Israelites worshiping other gods. The book of Hosea is written from the perspective of God using this experience of adultery to show how God's people have lost direction and, of course, by extension, have fallen out of love. And so God makes a decision that is declared to Hosea. And we see this in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "Once again, the Lord spoke to me. And this time he said, 'Hosea, fall in love with an unfaithful woman who has a lover. Do this to show that I love the people of Israel, even though they worship idols and enjoy the offering cakes made with fruit.' So I paid 15 pieces of silver and about 10 bushels of grain for such a woman. Then I said, 'Now you are mine. You will have to remain faithful to me, though it will be a long time before we even sleep together. It will also be a long time before Israel has a king or before sacrifices are altered at the temple, or before there is any way to get guidance from God. But later Israel will turn back to the Lord their God and to David their king. At that time, they will come to the Lord with fear and trembling, and he will be good to them. What a great passage for Christmas. And that was the contemporary English version. I had to go through a few before I found one that I thought was even really close to being able to say out loud, because this is a hard passage to go through. The NIV says that God states to Hosea, go love a woman. Whereas the New Revised Standard Version actually refers to Gomer, where God says to Hosea, go and show love to your wife again. Now, there could be and should be a whole other sermon on how this book portrays and objectifies women, both personally and on a whole. For example, Hosea's wife Gomer never even speaks in this entire book. Furthermore, she is made to represent the failings and the faults of an entire people. So the language used in Hosea may not be the same language in comparison that we might use today. By the way, present-day statistics reveal that husbands are much more likely, in fact, twice as likely, to cheat than wives. It's interesting that it's revealed and referenced that the people should go back to David, who committed adultery himself. But with all of that aside, we may know what it is like to be betrayed by one we love. That we give ourselves over to another person in a way that we have done with no one else. That we are open, vulnerable, trusting, perhaps even blind to the possibility that anything harmful would ever happen. And then it does. What is it like to love someone who loves someone else? Or what is it like to love someone who does not seem to love us back? Do we even see this, perhaps, with Mary and Joseph? Like Gomer, Joseph does not have a speaking part in the birth story. But also, like Hosea, Joseph at least contemplates, thinks about leaving Mary because of this scandal. However, unlike Hosea, Joseph responds more to God's hope of the people of Israel to keep going and to keep loving, even if it is scandalous. The birth story doesn't really get into just how scandalous it was for Joseph to stay with Mary, how many people knew, what they might have thought, how they treated the couple. But we could certainly imagine the scandalous love of an unmarried, pregnant couple, and that that is the couple chosen to birth the Lord and the Savior into the world. That's who God chooses? What kind of child is this? But as Linus might put it, perhaps as a grown-up, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about scandalous love. The Savior of the world, God incarnate, coming upon the earth and restoring all people, but doing so in the guise of a poverty-stricken baby. And the news of this miracle being shared to, of all people, shepherds. So in looking at Hosea, what one scholar said was, what is needed is the creation of new metaphors that express the profound religious truth of God's steadfast love for an undeserving people. This is the love we are shown. This scandalous love is revealed to be God's love. And so as God's people, we might need to ask the question, how then do we live and practice a scandalous love? Slaughter writes, God loves us and wants us even while we remain under the influence of unworthy lovers such as greed, selfishness, addiction, and deceit. So maybe as we practice this Advent and Christmas season, maybe we can see those ways in which we can love even when it is unpopular, or perhaps even portrayed or condemned as sinful. For example, the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Mary, who was months pregnant at this point, coming to her cousin Elizabeth, who was also months pregnant at this point. And rather than condemning Mary for being an unwed pregnant person, instead saying, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And we all know this story. Elizabeth gives blessing upon blessing, etc., etc., etc. So who is our etc.? Loving so much that we forgive and move forward. Also with the realization and the acceptance that that does not mean that we go back into old ways of relationship. That it is possible to forgive, it is possible to move forward while at the same time not going back to those relationships that hurt us in that way. Scandalous love means loving the unlovable. Not just the person who gets under our skin who may irritate us, but those strangers who we see day after day who are asking for help in one way or another. And we might say, or like myself, I have said, well, but what if they take advantage? What if they take advantage of our generosity? What if they take advantage of our giving nature? What if they take advantage of our Christianity? And maybe this is coming less from our theology and more from our past personal experience. And maybe not just even that experience of the time when we gave of our resources, of our gifts, and we saw that they squandered them in a way that we did not like. But maybe we're also looking at that from a lens of a past relationship, a past betrayal. If I put myself out there again in any way, for any reason, what if they take advantage? And I remember myself one time, years and years ago, saying that in some way, and a pastor saying to me, "Do you think that Jesus feels the same way? Not just in the birth, not just in Jesus' life, but especially at the time of the crucifixion, seeing all of those people looking back at him, did he think to himself, I really hope these people don't take advantage of me, of what I have done?" And so it takes me back to A Christmas Carol, when the ghost of Christmas Present is talking to Scrooge, and he reminds Scrooge of his own philosophy that, you know, someone like Tiny Tim, or really anybody, if they're likely to die, then they should just do it, right? And decrease the surplus population. And then the Spirit says, "Oh God, to hear the insect on the leaf pronounce on the too much of life among his hungry brothers in the dust." It is a scandalous love. And part of the scandal is that sometimes we are taken advantage of. Sometimes we are betrayed. Sometimes we are hurt. Just as Jesus was. But it's also a scandalous love that takes all of that pain and all of that advantage and puts it aside and moves forward to the very people who have taken advantage of that love for so long. It's a scandalous love that hears someone like Ebenezer Scrooge say, "I wish to be left alone," and says in response, "No, you don't. You think you deserve to be left alone because of what others have told you, but it's not true. Because no one deserves to be left alone." It's a scandalous love that Scrooge approaches on Christmas night when he asks his nephew, who he has shunned, who he has rejected for so long, "Will you have me?" And the nephew, who has every right to turn him away as he has been turned away over and over again, it is a scandalous love that says to Scrooge, "Of course, we will have you." That is what Christmas is all about. Now remember, forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not about pretending that the pain has never happened or that it is no longer there. In fact, forgiveness is about making that decision over and over, sometimes on a daily basis, that we will choose love instead of pain, that we will move forward and not back. Because it's not a choice to go back to an old relationship. It is a choice to start a new one, hopefully a better one. And God does that with us. God does that with the Israelites, with the entire world, again and again and again, covenant after covenant after covenant, until finally God says, you know what? I'm just going to show you. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to show you what this means, what it looks like, how to live a scandalous kind of love. Because I want you to show others. I want you to love others as I have loved you. That is a scandalous type of love. But that's what Christmas is all about. God not only with us, but also revealed in us, revealed as clearly as these lights which burn and shine. A light which reveals a love that others may call scandalous, but God calls holy. That says, yes, we may be taken advantage of from time to time, but there are those out there who think that they deserve to be alone, that they deserve to not be in the light, but yet be in darkness. And there are others who have written them off and said, you know what, if they would rather die, then they just better do it so that they can decrease the surplus population. But it is that scandalous type of love that says, no, we will go out to them because God has come to us revealed in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. So go and live a scandalous kind of love where people may say, well, maybe that also includes me, because it includes all of us. And may we go in peace. Amen.